Today, I'm just going to give you an overview about what I'm going to be talking about, give you an idea so you can kind of know what to expect and see if this is something that would be for you. I think that everyone needs this, but I kind of titled it Finding Your Place, and it really is so much more than that, but I feel like a lot of times we feel like our life is musical chairs, and if you've ever played musical chairs as a child, you have six people and you have five chairs, and you go around a circle as the music plays, the music stops and everyone finds a chair and one person's left out.
Always hated that game.
Right. And I kind of feel like there's all these different places and everyone's looking to find their place, and it seems like once they think they've found their place, that place isn't there anymore. It's not available, or it's not. I mean, I've struggled with that myself just in my walk with the Lord over the last 25 years. It's like, where do I belong, Lord? Where am I supposed to be? I would be in the nursery, and then I would be in children's church, and I'd be in youth, and it's like finding your place. But we know that in each place that we're at, God does have a place for us. We have a purpose and a plan that God wants us to have. Well, going through this whole process of finding your place, you just don't get to start where you want to be. There's training involved in God getting you to where He wants you to be. And so you go through the process of being happy in your own skin. Finding a place where you can actually be happy in your own skin. I mean, for the longest time, my personality is not anything like Miss Laura's. But I want to be like Miss Laura. Because she's peaceful. She's gentle, she's meek, you know. I mean, when I first got to know her, I mean, I couldn't even hardly get a conversation out of her because she's so quiet. And I'm not like that at all. And I admired those qualities in her. And so the Lord's telling me, you can develop those qualities, but you're never going to be Laura. I don't want you to get to heaven and be the best Laura that ever was. I want Laura to be that. So through this whole process, I don't know if you have heard me speak before. Dr. Caroline Leaf, who's a neuroscientist who studies the brain, I'm so fascinated with the brain and how it works, and I did a whole class on that. And so I have been dealing with my thought life and struggling with some things in my life that were causing toxic thinking, if I can say it that way. And we all have toxic thinking and how it affects us and how it affects how we react to people. And so it just kept on coming up in front of me. So all this stuff kept coming up in front of me. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, I know you're trying to tell me something. I really want to be free. I want to be happy. And I read this quote. It says, you can be happy or you can be right.
That's right.
You get to choose. Because not always having to be right makes you happy. And the fight that entails in having to be right, there's no joy involved in it.
Right.
It's struggle. And I want to be happy. And Dwayne's always laughing at me saying, honey, you just stay in your happy little world as this other world is revolving and stuff's happening and all this garbage is going on in the world. And I'm oblivious to it. I want to enjoy my life. I want to enjoy my family. I want to enjoy my grandson. I want to enjoy loving my friends. I want to be happy.
Amen.
But there's things in my life that I'm not happy about. There's things that happen in my life that I'm not happy about. And so I have been having this toxic reaction. And I've been asking the Lord about it. And so, of course, we know that the answer is to renew our minds. He says that we are accountable and need to renew our minds. So it brought me back to studying about our brains and why we react the way that we do and why we have toxic thoughts and how we can deal with those and realize that we don't have to live with it. I do not have to live with my toxic thinking. I actually can take every thought captive. So turn to 1 Corinthians 10 and let's read this. You've read it. If you've read the Bible, you've read this scripture a bazillion times. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 10, my apologies. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. the thing about our minds is that there's a place right in the middle of our brain that is an introspective place where we can, when we meditate and we're thinking about God, it helps us connect with God, and it's kind of like, it helps us, we have one foot in the flesh and then one foot in the spirit because of this place where we can meditate and be introspective and focus on God and invite Him into our lives, and then He then begins to stir up those things on the inside of us that He wants us to do. So, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, anybody want to read it? That would make me happy. Anybody?
I'll read it.
Bob.
For though we walk, this is Amplified, for though we walk, live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One.
Perfect. Okay, so it feels like it says that we walk in the flesh, we're not war according to the flesh. But so many times we want that fight to be physical. We want that fight to be in the flesh because we feel like we can get resolution when we have the fight, when we have the words, when we have the altercation, because we feel like we're going to get resolution when we do that. But that Jesus is telling us that that's not where the battle lies. What is so amazing to me is that he says, bring every thought. Say every thought.
Every thought.
Bring every single thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So in studying Dr. Lee, she says that we always have 4 to 7 thoughts that come up in from our subconscious, come into our brain. So right now, you can be thinking 4 to 7 thoughts. And she says typically 2 of those thoughts are toxic. 2 out of the 7 are going to have some kind of toxic attachment to them. So when I'm talking to you, you may be taking in some information, but what's happening is I'm triggering your thoughts and is pulling up other things that are going to cause you to think about that. Something that's happened, when I talk about having a fight, it's going to trigger something that's happened in your life. And so we're to take every single thought captive. No thought should come without being thought about. Okay, I thought I put my timer. I was like, okay, that's good. I need a timer. So let me read one of the things that she says here. It's oh my gosh, I didn't even know where to start with all this. I just want to kind of do an overview because if I get rolling, it's so exciting to me about what happened. So I put it to the test. I'm not going to tell you the story right now because I need to talk to Duane about it while we're on our trip to make sure that, you know, because I know that everything that, I wish that whatever happened in here stayed in here, but sometimes it doesn't, and sometimes, you know, if I talk about my family or my husband, somebody may say something, so I want to talk to him thoroughly about it and say, okay, this is what I was dealing with through this period of time, and this is what I did, and I want to use it as an example, because it brought me such healing, and it brought me such joy and happiness to know that I'm in control of my brain. I'm in control of my thoughts. I'm in control of my reactions. And for a while there, I felt like I really wasn't. I was responding out of frustration, and it was really frustration. It wasn't anger, but it was so frustrated. And I, instead of just taking a time to pause and take that thought captive and realize, why am I reacting? Why am I responding this way? It causes more problems. Right? And so what happens is when it talks about strongholds, it builds up a stronghold. It was building up a stronghold between my husband and I. We were fixing to be married for 30 years, and it still is happening. Right. Exactly. So what I want to do is I want to show you, I mean, I feel like I'm just playing on what Frankie taught and what Johnny's been teaching, but in order to break intimidation off of our life, we have to understand what is going on the inside of us. We're only responsible for us and our reactions. You can't change anybody else.
That's
It doesn't matter how many times you want to sit in somebody's office and talk it through with them, they can't change you. It is you. You're responsible. But what is so amazing is that you have a partner who's living on the inside of you, who wants to have that communication, that talking with you, who wants to for you to take pause, right? Take pause and think about what you're going to say. How is it going to affect you? How is it going to affect the person you're talking to? How is it going to affect your future? I mean, there's so many things if you would just think about it for a minute, but we don't. We are reacting out of toxic emotions that are in our subconscious that when something happens, you just immediately respond without even taking thought. But he's telling us to bring every thought into captivity. Every thought into captivity. So, anyway, she has an amazing way to do this to where you can actually, I don't want to call it a formula, but it is a formula to where you can actually destroy toxic thinking in your life. It takes time and it takes discipline. And usually what happens is that we don't want to make time and we don't want to be disciplined. We don't want to be disciplined in our mind. Let me give you a perfect example. Sitting in bed, going through my notes, and I'm having these 4 to 7 thoughts that are going through me. I'm studying, I'm thinking, but then I think to myself, I need to text Marcus and let him know something. It's work-minded. And then so I'm like, no, discipline, put that down, you know, and focus back on what I'm doing. So I had to do that 4 or 5 times. And to stay focused and realize that I have to discipline my mind. I have to be the one focused on Jesus and what he did. But there's such an amazing way to do it. And he says, when you think about me, I'm going to be there. When you praise me, I'm going to come beside you. And when you worship me, I'm going to work in your midst. I'm going to go to work for you. And you remember in Romans 12. And so I want to encourage you. I'm going to bring a worksheet the next time, but I really encourage you to take notes because statistically they've proven that if you just sit and listen to somebody, you're going to remember 10% of what you've heard. But if you take notes about something that's triggered, you know, you want to remember that, if you'll write it down, so as you hear it and you write it down and you go back and read it, you'll retain 30 to 50%. But what happens is when you go to bed at night, your subconscious goes to work and starts cleaning up all your thoughts and your so it cleans all that stuff out and it takes it away. So if you don't write it down and intend to remember, there has to be an intention to remember what you've learned, it's going to be gone. How many of you have had a conversation with somebody? You're having conversations and you think about something that you don't want to forget to talk to them about. But you want to be fully present for them, and when it comes your turn to talk, you forgot what it was. Mm-hmm. So that's one of those 4 to 7 thoughts that comes up in the middle of conversation, but then it drops back down into your non-conscious mind, and you're like, where'd it go? Where is it? How come I can't retrieve it? How about when you have forgotten why you walked into a room? Right? How many of you have forgotten what you walked into a room for? Okay, even the young ones say yes. Okay, so that's what's happening. If something jumps into your conscious mind and you think, I need to go get that right now and throw it in, like, especially when you're getting ready for a trip, I want to take that, go get it right then and throw it into the suitcase, right? So you walk into a room, can't remember why you walked in there. Has it happened to you? Okay, good. So you walk into the room and you're like, what did I walk in here for? So what happens? How do you get it back? You retrace your steps, right? You go back. I can't tell you how many times I go back into the kitchen. I walk in there. It's like, okay, I was here. Oh, that's what I needed, right?
Yeah.
Retrace your steps. So what it's doing is it's you're training your brain to work and to pull that from your subconscious and say, oh, that's what I was thinking. So anyway.
How many times have you said even, I bet if I don't do this right now, I'll forget it.
Yes.
And then you forget it.
Exactly.
I'm a champion at that one.
Right.
How many have lost it the second time?
Remember
it and you go back to the other room.
Why are you holding something in your hand?
Well, as an example, I got the experience yesterday about the thought thing.
Yeah.
Is last year, Dharma, which is 9, got on my mule with Parker as her advisor, and the adults in the back of them, you know, to see the mule, and she drove through a fence.
Oh, my.
Scared her to death.
Right.
And so we gently got her to drive again, but that memory. So yesterday, they're out driving, and Philip is driving with his three-year-old, is driving.
Yes.
And they're done, you know, he's driving with his three-year-old. One of the big pastures, no problem, an adult in the lap. But that memory, I look out, and Darma's walking. And I said, what happened? And then she followed and walked. She didn't want to be out of fellowship.
Right.
But the memory of that thing, I said, what caused that? So we got close to the fence, and all I could think of what happened to me.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it broke fellowship of the group.
Exactly.
Because of that memory. And I said, honey, you've got to learn to use that as a learning example, but then build new memories.
Right.
So that's what we want to hear.
Exactly.
The new memories.
That's what I'm saying. It's like when you... When you start building new memories and creating healthy memories, it's actually when you, as you're doing this, it's going to destroy the toxicity of the memory. Now, your memories will be with you forever. They're part of you. But what happens is it takes the pain away that's attached to it. So the memory is always going to be there. Like if you've been abused and Jesus has healed you and you've gone through and you've renewed your mind about that abuse, the memory of the abuse will be there, but the pain attached to it is gone, and that's what we want to be rid of. We want the pain to be gone, because what happens is something will happen and trigger that toxic thinking, and the feelings and the emotion that are with that come up. But if it's healed, it won't be there. Perfect example. Say you have unforgiveness towards someone, and you know you do, and when the person walks in the room, how do you know you have unforgiveness? Because of that thing rises up on the inside of you, right? You know, it's like... You feel that feeling. That's toxic. But when you forgive them and you release them and you pray and say, God, I picture them right now and I bring them before you and I just forgive them and I release them. I just let that go. Whatever they did, I just release them and I let it go and I thank you that that's under the blood. The test is the next time you see them.
Yeah.
And so the next time you see them, they walk in the room. There's no feelings of angst. The memory's there, but there's no pain attached. You can talk to the person, have conversation with the person, and there'll be nothing there on the inside of you. You can't change them. You can't change what they did, and even if they do it again, you're not responsible for that. God's looking at you and holding you responsible for you. So as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen? Okay, one of the things I was thinking about is why did they make you, when you fall off a horse, get back on again? Same exact thing. You have to overcome the fear by doing it again. And that's what I would say with Dharma, is get in the car with her, hold her, make her feel secure, the buggy or whatever, and say, that's not a part of you. That was a mistake that happened, and look at you now, you're mature and you're bigger, whatever it is, to edify her and cause that thinking to go away. And then when she experiences success, then what's going to happen to that toxic thinking, it's going to dissolve, and it's going to have a flourishing thought there that says, I can do this. That's why when you see kids who flourish in school, it's probably because they've been told their whole life, you're amazing. Oh my gosh, there's nothing you can do. Are you? Oh my gosh, you're as smart as the teachers. Are you kidding me? So they go in with an attitude, with openness, that they just learn like that. But then you have kids who are in an abusive family who hear nothing but, oh my gosh, you're always in my hair and I can't stand to look at you. And that really happens. What's happening is that child is closing down. The thoughts are becoming toxic and they're full of fear. And you can think of all the things that would happen with them. They just become introspective and don't even want to say anything. And that's not what we want. We want to take this message and make it to where this is healing.
Right.
This is healing. And that's what we want for people. That's what we want for our families. And so since I've started studying this, it's so funny with the conversations that I have with people and things that they're saying is I can tell. That's toxic thinking. I don't say anything, but I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, that's toxic thinking. That is creating something on the inside of you. So Dr. Lee says, research has shown that 75 to 98% of current mental, physical, and behavioral illnesses come from our thinking, our reactions, and our choices.
Yep.
She said, toxic reactions catapult your body and mind into negative stress and quantum speeds that we need to choose well what we're thinking. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
That it starts in the brain. And that's why L'Oreal's is so successful because, hold on one second, L'Oreal's is so successful because she took every single thought captive. She was not going to believe the lie of the devil. She was not going to die. She was going to live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. And I mean, she had joy in her heart. And even though she went through stuff, she did everything that the doctors told her to do. She went through it with faith, believing that I will rise, I will rise, I will rise. I will be healed. I will walk. I will have a testimony. I will tell people of the goodness of God. So she didn't allow, and I'm not saying that she didn't have the test because the doctors were giving her the worst reports possible because that's what doctors do. They tell you the facts. They tell you this is what's happening. These are the results that we've seen. And they give you the research and they tell you all this stuff. But you, that's the facts. When you believe the truth of what's God's word, it supersedes the facts. And you can overcome. We've seen it. And there's testimony after testimony after testimony of people who have overcome and been healed. And it's really a result of what's going on in here, what's coming out of here.
Yeah, man.
Amen. Did you have?
I just, when you say that that our actions are a result of our thoughts.
Sure.
And you see, we've taken God out of everything.
Right.
Out of the schools. People don't even honor God by coming to church or Sunday school anymore. So the
right.
kids don't know anything about
right.
God. And so no wonder we have these freaky kids going around shooting and killing each other, stabbing each other.
Exactly.
We just need to get God back into everything.
It's already time to go. Wow. See how fast it goes, you guys? Sorry. What did he say? He didn't know where I was going. Anyway. Yes?
I was just thinking, you know, sometimes, too, the difference. Yeah, the Bible says the truth will set you free.
Right.
And that true freedom only comes through the truth.
Right.
Not just the power of positive thinking.
Right.
Because if it's the power of positive thinking,
or
we could all do it, we could all lose weight, we'd all be following our disciplines, that it is just like you said, do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you really do. It's that constant baptizing.
It is.
Because we're in such a huge battle.
Yes. Yeah, it says don't be conformed to the world. We're not going to be like the world. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and there's another scripture that says we wash with the water of the word. So what you're doing is you're literally washing your brain, and there's actual chemicals that are going across your thoughts and all these. I mean, I'm not a scientist, you guys, so it's hard for me to explain what's happening. I mean, I can see it in my head, but you're actually, there's chemicals that are washing over and cleansing and keeping healthy thoughts, and they're actually that actually will destroy that toxic thought. That's what's happening, and it's God working in us doing that. When we come into partnership with Him and say, I got to have you. I have to have you in my life. I can't do this. It's like you said, positive thinking doesn't work. And besides that, you're not disciplined enough to do it on your own. You have to have help. You have to have the power of the Holy Spirit working in you. Bruce.
Yeah, I was thinking that memory, the memories that we have, or we set up, you know, Jesus said to set up memorials.
Right.
To have memories of things that God has done in our lives as new creations in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
We belong to this superior reality, this kingdom,
yes.
where God's working through us as His hands. And part of that, you know, when He was talking to the disciples about the loaves and the fishes, when they, you know, multiplied.
Right.
And then later they forgot, you know, He said, we don't even have any bread. We can't, you know, they had forgotten
right.
what God had done for
right.
them.
Right.
You know, that this superior reality, this supernatural realm that we live in.
That's good.
He wants us to remember those things,
yes.
set up those memorials of what He's done in our lives, those miracles.
Amen.
And when we think of those, then we have the same ability to recreate those things
awesome.
into our life.
That's
you know,
good.
So it's we're living in this, you know, supernatural reality
right.
where that's why He wants us to renew our mind and, you know, that we can remember who we are in Christ
mm-hmm.
and what we have, what you know, what He can do through us.
Exactly. That's why it's important to know what it is. What is it He has for us? Linnell?
Well, then there's all the many ways, I mean, that everyone looks at things differently.
Right.
You know, and of course it depends on our age and where we all are. But like last Easter Sunday, my grandchildren have this huge family. and Indy Hennis. And later, I said to Layton, I'm like, well, how was it? He was like, oh, I think I knew about a quarter of the people there. And but the little one, she says, I didn't know but a nickel or a dime. You know? Yeah. She was so serious. You know, so there's so many levels on how everybody can think about things. So like I'm doing the baseball right now and right. Coaching, you know, and you got the T-ball and you're like, okay, this is first and this is second, you know. And you three out here, left field, center field, right field, you know, stand there, right. You know, okay. So then you hit the ball out there and it rolls like right up to the edge of your podium. And they just, and she just stood there. And I said, but pick up the ball and throw the ball. She said, you told me to stand here.
Literal.
You're exactly right. I did tell you to stand here. So,
okay. Yeah, bring the one back. Got that word that the Lord said that it's imperative that you talk to learn to receive.
Yes.
And that's what this is.
Yes.
Because
yes.
We don't know. We assume
we
know who picked up the ball.
Right.
Yes. We just in here and found out in Bruce's meeting that we assume when someone comes in and we say, turn to James 5,
right.
They know what we're talking about. Right. That's what James.
Right.
What's in the New Testament?
Exactly.
What's that?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's that simple, but that's exactly the way it is.
Yeah.
And you can't know, unless you know the truth.
It's true.
You can't stand on it.
Exactly.
That's like Darlene got, that doctor told her 7 years ago, you have a year to live, you'll die.
Right.
And she said, tell me something. I said, the Word of God is true and you can trust in it. So start learning the Word of God and trust in it.
Exactly. You get to
and
choose. Process. It's our story. So let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity. I thank you for the freedom to be able to come to church and freely worship you and learn and grow in you. And I thank you for the plans you have for us that are good and not evil, to give us a future and a hope. And I thank you, Lord, as we go through this class that we end better than we came, Lord, because we are learning to renew our minds, to be transformed, Lord, into your image so that we can then just be the ripple effect and go into other people's lives and help freedom reign, Lord, in people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen.